Mr. President, I move that further proceedings of roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant Arms Instructor ring absent.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is one of our fellow members, Senator Michael Jungbauer.
Good morning, members. No, you're not going to be hugging today.
Why not?
But you can hug anyway. Members, I thought we would actually do something different today. And Scripture talks about a cord of three strands not being easily broken. And I want us to reach out and grab somebody else's hand. And just, if you're sick, you don't have to touch anyone. That's okay. You're exempt. If you're sick, you're exempt. All right. The idea, members, is no matter what party we're from, as we go through session, if our bills don't pass, we feel a little rejected. Sometimes other people amend them and we feel rejected, but the idea is that we have friends here.
Vanderbury, you found a friend?
We need friends to lift this up. We need friends to be there through this process. So now that you found a friend, let's bow our heads to pray. Father God, we just ask your blessing today. I feel led, Lord, to lift our families up, that some of us have families at home that are ill or just need prayer, Lord. We just lift them up to you today. We ask your hand of blessing upon all the staff here, the senators, House members, all the people that work here at the Capitol, Lord. They do the work behind the scenes tirelessly on a day-to-day basis, and we just ask your hand of blessing upon them. And today, Lord, I feel led especially to pray for our servicemen. And I'm thinking of my nephew, Jeremy, who's in Baghdad, Lord, that you bless him. And any members out there that would have friend or family, if you want to mention out loud their names, we can lift them all up in prayer today, any service person anywhere. Well, Lord, the service people are on our minds, so we just do lift up everyone that we're thinking of. And Lord, we always ask your hand of blessing. No matter where our service people serve us, here at home or overseas, they always need your hand of blessing as they're away from their families and friends. And cause us, Lord, to see your vision for the state of Minnesota the rest of this year as we work through session, and we'll give you the glory. Amen.
Thank you, Michael. Very good.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Monoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parasol, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sheeran, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger. A quorum is present.
Quorum is present. The first order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returned. Senate file number 1133, signed Albany Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives. And also, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House. Following Senate file is amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 1045, a bill for an act relating to Scott County. Senate file 1045 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Ortman, did you wish to lay yours on the table? You better get by your desk. He's going to take a little time to review this.
Senator. Mr. President, if the body would indulge me, I'd appreciate if they would lay the bill on the table.
On the
time.
Motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files 881 and 1490, signed Albany Mathews, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
The next order of business is first reading of House bills. They are printed on today's agenda. They will be referred as indicated. First reading of House bills. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Porger Miller, reports of committees.
I move that the committee reports printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On the Porger Miller motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next order of business, the sixth order of business is the second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda without objection. Second reading of Senate bills. The eighth order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we will adopt these motions as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There's one resolution on today's agenda. Without objection, the resolution number 75 will be sent to the Rules Committee.
Mr. President.
Well, Senator Wergen, under motions, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a...
You got to
listen carefully today. I have a motion that I need to read.
Well, Senator Wergen, we'll read the motion at the desk.
Senator Wergen moves that Senate File 2164 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and returned to its author.
This is your bill?
Yes.
All right. On the Wergen motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Porger Miller.
President, I have a motion that I'm going to make on behalf of Senator Murphy, who's not here. I move that Senate File 1971, number 83 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Transportation. Senator, an explanation?
The explanation, Senator Porger Miller, why we're doing this.
Senator Senjum and others, apparently the Transportation Committee was trying to move out a policy bill yesterday. And this apparently is the vehicle for the policy bill. Does that make sense? So I think he's going to have a committee this afternoon to put whatever you were doing yesterday onto this bill.
Okay. On the motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Remaining on motions, we'll take up the calendar. Senator Porger Miller,
yes.
Here again, members, I shouldn't have to tell you each time we do this, but these are going to require some votes, so stay close to your seats or remain in your seats. First bill under consideration on the calendar will be House File 1004, third reading.
House File 1004. A bill for an act related to mortgages prohibiting predatory lending practices.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and it's title agreed to. The last time I'm going to say it, there's 4 more votes here this morning. Stay seated. Next bill will be Senate File number 221. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 221, a bill for an act relating to employment, requiring employers to provide written notice of certain rights and remedies.
Secretary will take the roll.
After that big speech, he did that for Pocono Daily.
All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 63 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar will be Senate File 1495. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1495, a bill for an act relating to employment, extending laws governing payroll card accounts.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Senator Limmer. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 62 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar will be Senate File number 380. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 380, a bill for an act relating to elections, changing certain school district election provisions, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The last bill on the calendar, well, number 5, Senate File number 248. Secretary will give Senate File 248 its third reading.
Senate File 248, a bill for an act relating to elections, changing a prohibition on certain expenditures.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 2 nays, 3 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Without objection, under motions, we'll take up the Senate bill introductions. Give it, these bills are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Senator. Under next order of business is general orders. Senator Pogramiller, did you have a motion to make?
Mr. President, I would move the Senate to now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr.
The
President,
committee shall be in order. Senator Pogramiller.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to designate number 26 on general orders, Senate File 420, Senator Saxhog. Number 54, Senate File 1201, Senator Dahl. Number 72, Senate File 2034, Senator Clark. And then there may be an addition. We're looking for a Jungbauer bill that we think is on general orders. We're trying to find it. So there may be one additional bill.
Okay, that the committee has before it Senate File number 420, Senator Saxhawk.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill restricts firewood that is being brought into state-administered land to only that firewood that is approved by the Commissioner of the Natural...
Senator Saxhawk, you have a motion to make. Should be on your desk there. Is it? Maybe not.
Thank you, Mr. President.
When this committee do arise... Okay.
I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 420 be recommended to pass.
All right, now the discussion on the bill, Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, as I said before, this bill restricts firewood on the state-administered land to only that firewood approved by the Commissioner of Natural Resources. The purpose is to attempt to head off the spread of invasive species, primarily the emerald ash borer, an insect that affects ash trees. This bug has been the cause of infestations in other parts of the country and has necessitated the removal of all ash trees in some Michigan state parks. After the emerald ash borer was established in Michigan, field surveys highlighted the close relationship between the movement of this insect and recreationally used firewood. Minnesota has the third largest population of ash in the nation. The DR intends to conduct an extensive outreach and education campaign along with the legislation that targets campground managers as well as the public at large. I think most of us remember the Dutch elm disease that came in, particularly in the 70s, and wiped those out. Ash trees around the state of Minnesota, in many cases, replaced those Dutch elm trees. So if you had elm trees, now you have ash trees, what we're trying to do is protect them. The camping season starts soon, members, and we hope to get this passed and get this PR campaign out to keep these ash trees from being infected, and I'll stand for questions. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 420. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just rise in support of Senate File 420. The threat that's posed to our state forests, our state trees of all kinds, emerald ash borer is just the worst one on its way, but we've got all kinds of bugs, some of which have shown up in small individual numbers. My own district was threatened by the gypsy moth. So this is just the beginning, and this bill is actually just a very, very small first step in dealing with firewood in our state. It just deals with the DNR controlling firewood that's coming into the state campgrounds. But as we all know, we've got firewood that's coming into the state, firewood that's moving all over the state for all kinds of reasons and all kinds of settings. And these pests move with unregulated firework with firewood with great ease. So this is just a small first step, kind of letting the public know that we're going to have to significantly change how we think about firewood, how we source it, and how we control that, because the threat to our forests, the threat to our trees is tremendous. We had an appropriation that we sought to deal with the urban canopy and the urban forests, and we just got a little bit of money. That's going to be a great undertaking as well. So this is a good start. I commend Senator Saxhawk, but just want to let folks know we're going to be hearing a lot more about how we deal with firewood issues and these tree infestations in the near term.
Further discussion on Senate File 420. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, members, sometimes I wonder about, this might be logical, but, I'll tell you what happens in Rochester and probably all over. If you're in town and you have a fireplace that burns wood, you call the local farmer or the guy that's got the wood plot out there in the country. It may well be next to the state park. He or she cuts the wood, brings it in, loads it in the pickup, brings it in, sets it perhaps in your backyard. You go ahead and burn it. It might be summer, and you take a couple pieces of that wood, throw it in your trunk, and take it to the state park. It just seems to me that we're forbidding the wood that, generally speaking, probably came from the forest, from our timberlands, if you will, and suggesting it can't go back there. And I don't know whether or not this is going to control moths and fungi and wasps and so on and so forth, but it just seems to me the long of our government, in the end will be a fairly ineffective measure, is reaching out and once more restricting our people from doing, in my view, common sense things. So I've spoken, and that's the way I feel, Mr. President.
Any further discussion? Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I want to speak in favor of this bill. We've had testimony in Environment and Natural Resource Committee that the emerald ash borer particularly is devastating our forests in the eastern United States and is as far west as Michigan, Detroit, I'm told specifically. And as it progresses west, it is moving fairly slowly, but apparently inevitably west. But what will cause that migration to greatly increase in distance is the transporting of infected wood. If you bring infested wood from those areas into the state of Minnesota, we'll have the emerald ash borer here in Minnesota, and that will be absolutely devastating to the ash trees in our state. As Senator Saxhog said in his introductory remarks, two or three decades ago, many of us took down a lot of elm trees because of Dutch elm disease. And unfortunately, one of the species with which we replaced them was ash trees. And now we have emerald ash borer coming towards Minnesota, which will devastate the ash trees as the beetles devastated the elm trees two or three decades ago. And this is more than just the important economic aspect of what it'll do to our forest industry, where there are oak trees being grown for lumber. Think of all the ash trees that we have around our homes that we value so much, shading our lawns, giving aesthetic value. So this is a small step that we're taking to try and slow down the ash borer coming from into Minnesota.
Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Dibble yield for a question?
Senator Dibble will yield to a question.
Thank you. Senator Dibble, I'm not necessarily opposed to your bill. I understand kind of the reasoning behind it.
It's not Senator Dibble's bill. It's Senator Saxhog's bill. You could ask anybody a question, I'm sure. Senator Saxhog will yield. Yeah, it's Senator Saxhog's bill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Senator Saxhog, the one concern I have is that you're exempting the DNR from rulemaking provisions, and I'm concerned that that might result in people not knowing exactly, because now you're not going to have the public hearing and the public input, and people may not know what the rules are, and then they could end up with a misdemeanor after May 1st, 2008. Is my understanding of the exemption of the rulemaking, is that necessary in the bill?
Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thanks for the question, Senator. I think that the real importance here is that this be done quickly, and that that's why the DNR is concerned not only with just the actual firewood portion of this and working on that, but what they're really concerned with is getting the public relations out there, getting the as you referred, making sure the public knows what's going on here, and the disease and if they know, then hopefully they won't have to be pinched.
Senator Vandeveer, any further discussion on Senate File 420? Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Saxhog that Senate File 420 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders will be number 54, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1201 be recommended to pass.
Thank you. Senator Dahl on the bill.
Members, Senate File 1201 is a real simple bill. What it does is it changes the maximum truck length allowed for single vehicles from 40 to 45 feet in overall length. What this does will... ready-mix trucks were required to begin beginning in the January 1st of this year to meet federal air emission standards by putting on additional equipment onto their trucks. This is for new trucks only. And to accommodate this, we needed to adjust our statutes to meet the necessary space for those to put those that equipment in. This bill does not change the weight limits on these or any other trucks. The length is already allowed for motorhomes and buses, so it creates a uniform maximum length. And this bill has been reviewed by MnDOT, State Patrol, the Truckers Association, and the AAA, and there's no opposition to it. It did pass through the Transportation Committee without opposition. I would appreciate your support.
Any further discussion on Senate File 1201? The question occurs on the motion of Senator Dahl that Senate File 1201 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill is that number 62. Senator, I got the next bill is I've got listed as number 62. What is she, 72? Okay, we're going to go to number
72. We're not 62.
All right, I've got it on my list, but I guess not. Okay, then we're going to take up Senate File 2034, Senator Clark, on general orders. Senator Clark. Senator Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 2034 be recommended to pass. This bill is to update the Minnesota milestones. You may recall that under Governor Carlson, the state looked forward at a 30-year vision and developed goals and indicators about how we could be moving forward, looking at public, private indicators. And it was a really good thing to be moving forward in that way, but it's lapsed a bit and it needs to be updated. This bill reinvigorates the idea and updates it. We've worked it out with admin and with others. It brings together private and public partners to determine the direction the Minnesota Milestones Project should go in the future. We should look at how we can learn from other states and Minnesota's own experience with the milestones, and eventually the results can be used to determine priorities for both public and private attention to improve Minnesota's residents' well-being. And essentially what it is, we'll be having a work group getting together, not for many times, but a few times, and bringing back recommendations about how we can better improve this important tool. I certainly would appreciate your support.
Discussion on Senate File 2034. Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Clark that Senate File 2034 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I'd like to designate number 62, Senate File 69, Senator Sieben's bill on gift card regulation. And we're going to try to finish by noon here, and we'll just see how this goes. And if it lasts longer than that, we'll process it.
Okay, the next bill to be considered on general orders, it's number 62, be Senate File number 69, Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 69 be recommended to pass.
Okay, Senator Sieben on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 69 is gift card legislation. Most consumers or customers believe that when they purchase a gift card or a gift certificate, they want to get their money's worth, or it's the company's promise to them that the gift certificate or the gift card will be worth the value that they purchased it under. And Senate File 69 designates that gift certificates or gift cards cannot expire, nor can they have dormancy fees attached to them. I'd just like to remind members that this bill passed a couple of years ago when Senator Wes Scoglin and Senator Wieger worked on it, and this is very similar to that proposal, and I would ask for your support.
Further discussion on Senate File 69, Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, this bill was, when it was heard in the Commerce Committee, I was pretty critical of it, and I still am, members. I'm not going to offer an amendment here today on the floor, but let me just tell you a little bit about some of the discussion that took place in the committee. It was simply this. Certainly, people buy cards. They buy a lot of products. They buy a lot of things. And it was my take on this, that there ought to be some personal responsibility upon a person buying something to inquire about expiration dates, about the terms of what it is they're doing, and that, you know, then they can make a decision in the marketplace. I have a higher threshold, I think, than many around here for when we should have government involvement in the marketplace. And, you know, the first step is public safety at risk? And I would think no. Is there pervasive fraud in the gift card industry? I think not. You know, some people may have a different take on that. So I offered an amendment in the committee that said simply that you could certainly offer these with expiration dates, if that's your business model, if that's your business plan, but that you had to put disclosure on the cards, that you had to say clearly this card expires or whatever your terms are, and that was visible. We had some discussion on that, and that amendment failed in committee, and I was disappointed about that. And at that time, I decided, well, I'm not going to offer it on the floor here. There's no point in that. I think that this bill here really is two sides of the coin. There's the thinking policy side of this, and I think it's bad policy for the government to inject itself into the private marketplace here when there is no public safety at harm. There is no pervasive fraud going on. The other side is certainly the political or populist side. This bill is before you, and it may be difficult to vote against because a lot of it's one of those bills that people kind of on the street might say, yeah, they shouldn't expire or whichever it is. But again, if you vote yes on this, you're just simply responding to that, and you're allowing consumers to just get a pass. And you're allowing them to do that. I just think that that's wrong. I think that there ought to be some personal responsibility in the marketplace. We cannot regulate and intervene in every contract, every single transaction that we have. We have to draw some limits around here. And members, for that, I would urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. President. And would Senator Sieben respond to a question?
Senator Sieben will respond to a question. Senator Hahn.
Thank you. And my question is, and I appreciate, Senator Gerlach, your comments from committee. I am not on that committee. And my question would be, just for clarification, Senator Sieben, Senator Gerlach had indicated that there is no evidence that there is a problem from the standpoint of public safety or fraud in the marketplace with respect to the cards. And so if that is true, or if you would dispute that truth of that, I'd like to hear your view on that. But if it is true, what is the reason that we are doing this? What is the reason for the bill?
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hahn, the reason behind this legislation is that it's a good consumer protection bill. Roughly 10% of gift cards are never redeemed. It's unknown what percent of that 10% is because of expiration dates or perhaps dormancy fees. But overwhelmingly, I think the public supports this. Many other states have similar requirements against their gift cards. On the back of a coffee card that I showed that I purchased in the Commerce Committee, on the back of the card it said something like, there is a dormancy fee except where prohibited by law, which I think goes to my point that it's not difficult for companies to not have dormancy fees or to not have expiration dates. The marketplace is showing, I think, in response to many other states' legislation that has passed, that companies can do quite well offering gift cards or gift certificates without dormancy fees or expiration dates. And I think it's time that Minnesota join that trend and do what we can to protect consumers here in Minnesota.
Mr. President.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Sieben. And just a follow-up question. Is it possible, and I have not bought gift cards or Maybe I have on occasion, I can't remember, but I haven't done it frequently if I have. But is it not possible for consumers to discover when they buy a card if there is an expiration or a dormancy fee? Is that a piece of information that is not available to consumers when they purchase the card?
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair and Senator Han, it usually is available to consumers, but not always. And I can pass an article to you about Kmart, which settled with the FTC over the lack of disclosure of dormancy fees that were occurring on their gift card. So sometimes it is disclosed in very fine print, but not always.
And Mr. President, Senator Sieben, I guess my question was not whether it was printed on the card itself, but if I buy a card from Target and I said to the person I was buying from, does this card have an expiration date or a fee attached if it isn't used, would I get an answer that was accurate or would I be told something that was not true?
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair and Senator Han, well, first of all, Target doesn't have expiration dates or dormancy fees, but I don't know. I can't tell you. If it doesn't say it on the card, I can't guarantee that whomever is selling the card is aware of whether or not their store has these dormancy fees or an expiration date. But again, I'd just like to also point out that the Minnesota Retailers Association spoke in favor of this legislation in the Commerce Committee.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Sieben. Well, and again, I not being in the Commerce Committee, not hearing the full debate, but I'm trying to understand what the issue was here. It seems to me that what we're saying is that it's possible and certainly likely that a person buying a card from some retailer would be able to find out the conditions that attach to it. It seems that Senator Gerlach apparently is right. There is no evidence of ongoing fraud or public safety hazard. I guess I'm just curious about why. Do we just believe that people are not responsible and can't make these decisions on their own? Is that the sort of the theory that we're working under here, that there cannot be an assumption of individuals to be responsible to make their decisions about something, about such as buying a card for a gift card, which I guess I wouldn't say is a hugely significant purchase in life, but are we saying that individuals are not capable of making responsible decisions with respect to buying gift cards, and that's the necessity of having a law to force retailers to comply with a certain standard that we've determined?
On Senate File 69, Senator Vandeveer, then Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Sieben yield for a question?
She'll yield. Senator Vandeveer.
I have the right senator this time. Senator Sieben, about what percent of the gift cards would this cover, this bill cover, as far as those issued? Does it cover all bank cards or all gift cards, or is there quite a few of them that are excluded from this?
Okay, Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair and Senator Vandeveer, this legislation only covers cards that are sold by retailers. It does not cover bank cards because of some preemption concerns that were raised. It also does not cover cards that are issued by credit unions.
Well, Senator Vandeveer.
Mr. President, Senator Sieben, you know, I did support this in committee, but now I am concerned with the fact that the possibility here that people could become quite confused because they will believe now that gift cards can't expire when potentially a large number of them are escaping this regulation. Do you think, does this require disclosure along with the, does this require disclosure from those people that issue the cards that do not have to comply with the law, that at least disclosure that the gift card will expire if that's the case?
I don't. So, Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair and Senator Vandeveer, no, it does not require that disclosure for bank cards. And the reason it does not is the same reason it's not, those institutions are not included in the legislation. The legislature cannot, the state legislature cannot regulate federally chartered banks.
For Senator Latz, and then we're close to a vote. Senator Latz.
Mr. President, in response to Senator Hand's question, let me add one additional thought. It's not
only the buyer of the gift card that we're concerned about. In most cases, a gift card is used to be given as a gift. In fact, it's a growing trend, and it makes the decision to purchase a gift for someone a whole lot easier. Buy them a card, and then you don't have to pick out a specific product that you're not sure they're going to like. And so it's not necessarily the buyer that needs to be informed here. It's the user. It's the recipient of the gift. How many of you have received a gift card and just stuck it in your wallet or stuck it in your drawer, and you think, next time I go to this store, I'm going to pull it out and use it? And then you get to the store and you forget, oh, geez, I had it in my drawer. I'll have to use it next time. Pretty soon you realize, before you realize it, it's expired, or you never read the fine print. Or in the case of one of my constituents, you've got a kid who receives it, a 15-year-old who receives it as a gift and doesn't know that they should be reading the fine print on the card. And they save up to buy something, and they go to the store, and they pull out the card, and they realize that, oh, it's expired. Now they don't have enough money to buy the product they wanted, the thing that they wanted to buy. Those are the consumers that are most in need of protection here. It's not necessarily an issue of fraud, but I'm not sure that we've ever established fraud as the threshold for government regulation. Sometimes there are things that need to be addressed beyond the issue of fraud. There's one other point I'd like to make, which is that when we've got, say, 10% of the gift cards that are never being used because they expired or for whatever reason, that's a windfall to the retailers. That's a total windfall to the retailers. And this is in the range of $18 to $20 billion a year nationally and growing. Value that the retailers are getting without having to provide any kind of value back. No service, no product, nothing. It's a straight windfall to their bottom line. So if the question is, what's the fairness here? Seems to me the fairness should be that the purchaser or the recipient of the gift card be able to get some value back for the card that they were using, rather than simply adding to the bottom line of the retailer without the retailer having to provide anything in return. I would encourage your support for the bill.
Senator Hamm, then I think we're close.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator
President. And thank you, Senator Latz. And I do appreciate the your point about these are given as gifts and people sometimes find that they have expired. And I acknowledge that could be a unfortunate circumstance. You get a gift and you think it's worth something, and you find out because you've kept it for too long that it may not be, and that may be one of life's disappointments, I guess, to some degree. But to your larger point about whether businesses ought to be able to retail things that some of us perceive are without value, I think gets us into a very murky area of law or potential law or regulation. Are we going to then determine the value that businesses provide in things like, well, let's take a look at gambling, for example. Does gambling provide value? What about other forms of entertainment? Do those forms of entertainment provide value that we believe is sufficient to warrant the price that the businesses charge? I think if we're going to get into that kind of debate in this body to make a determination about when businesses are engaged in legitimate enterprises that are yielding profits that are defensible on some theory that we may have, I think that gets us into a very troubling area for this body or for anybody to legislate. But again, members, I know we're getting close to a vote. The President has reminded us that. I would like to just suggest that this bill should not be passed. It should not be in front of us. We talk a lot about that we believe that government should have limits. It seems to me that when we're going to pass a bill such as this, what we're really saying is no, there's no limit. It's whatever we think we want to do, whatever we think that somebody wants, whatever we think that we can do something to solve somebody's problem or please somebody's sensibilities, we should do that. I think that if we really believe that government has limits, that this would be a good place to say, here's the limit, we ought to stand and say, this is now meet that test. I urge a no vote.
Further discussion, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Sieben yield?
She will yield,
sorry,
yes.
There. Senator Stevens, I'm just looking at the bill, and I have one question, and that is, and let's maybe just pose the example, Joe's Car Wash in Hastings. I want to buy some car wash gift cards for my sister who lives in Hastings, and that's a nice birthday or Christmas present for her. And so I do that, and old Joe goes out of business. It just doesn't work out for him. But yet she has these cards. And let's just say Joe goes into a tire store or something like that. But, you know, Joe's in Hastings. Is Joe still liable under this bill?
Senator Sheehan, do you...
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, no, I do not believe that would apply.
Mr. President,
Senator Senjum.
Senator Sheehan, is there any indication in this bill that I see, and I don't see it, that Joe would not yet be liable on a personal basis for the value of those cards?
I don't know what to wait. Senator Sheehan.
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, there is not specific language in the bill, but the way it was explained to me that would not be applicable under this legislation.
Okay, Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, maybe just an open question. I guess we maybe have established some level of legislative intent through this conversation,
I believe that's correct. Now that we've got Senator Sheehan's remarks on tape, so I think that would. Any further discussion on Senate file number 69? The question occurs on Senator Sheehan's motion that Senate file 69 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Committee, do you have a motion to make?
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. The motion prevails. So Senate will come to order.
Mr. President?
Senator Fogelmiller.
I move that the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Fogelmiller, we do have an addendum under motions. We'll revert without objection to the addendum. The first order on the addendum is reports of committees. Fogelmiller to adopt.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the addendum be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The next order of business on the addendum is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on the addendum without objection. Second reading of Senate bills. Seventh order of business on the addendum is there's three House bills.
Oh, I need a recess.
Without objection, we'll give them second reading of House bills.
Mr. President, I'd like to move a brief recess for the appointment of a conference committee.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess. Senate will be in order. Senator Fogelmiller.
Mr. President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
There's a privilege report at the desk.
Senator Fogelmiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends the following senators be and hereby appointed as a conference committee on House File 866. Senators Langseth, Cohen, Senjum, Metzen, and Wergen. Senator Fogelmiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On the Fogelmiller motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Yes.
I think that completes the work at the desk. Now we're on announcement. Senator Moi.
Mr. President, Judiciary members, we will go in at 1:30 in room 112. If we do not finish what's on our agenda, we will continue tomorrow. We have the room reserved.
Oh, Senator Botev.
Mr. President.
Members.
Senator Pogemiller first. Senator
Mr. President,
Pogemiller.
I'm not sure that was thinly veiled even, was it?
Senator Botev, are you meeting tomorrow?
I would like to ask the Suburban Caucus to very briefly go in the retiring room immediately following session. I know people have other committees, places to be, but this will be very briefly in the retiring room for the Suburban Caucus members.
Senator Sanjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. My understanding is that we'll convene at 10 o'clock on Monday. And if that is the case, then Senate Republicans at 9 o'clock in room 107 Monday morning prior to session.
Senator Pogemiller, is it 9 or 10? 10, okay, I heard 9. Okay, that's right. We're in at 10 and you're going to caucus at 9.
Mr. President, 1 hour ahead of session, okay. Yes.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senate Health, Housing, and Family Security meeting will be at 12:30 today. We will not meet tomorrow, regardless of whether we finish or not.
That's the... Senator Carlson?
Mr. President, the Transportation Committee will meet in room 318 at 12:15. And this will be just a five-minute meeting to take care of the administrative problems with Senate File 1971, and we will also not meet tomorrow.
You're going to meet Sunday? Or Saturday? Oh, not, okay. Any further announcements without objection? Senators Bach, Scheid, and Murphy will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Corrin and Marty from 11 to 1120, and Senator Roebling from 1120 to 1125. Senator Pogemiller.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I move to adjourn, the plan next week, we have about 100 bills on the general orders calendar. That'll maybe go up to 125 or 30, I suppose, after Judiciary Committee's done. And so the plan would be to, and the plan then would be to process general orders next week and pretty much go all day on that with decent lunch hour. And so I think on Monday we'll start at 10 and go till 5, and we'll break for lunch from 12:30 to 2. And then depending on how that goes, I would then think on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we would probably start earlier in the day, maybe start at 8, maybe too early for 9 o'clock maybe start. And then go till 5 or 6 or 7, whatever's necessary. But the intent then would be to pretty much clear off general orders next week. And so it would be helpful if members would let my office know if there's something there that you do not want to process. For example, it's no longer a bill that the authors need to let us know. I was looking at Senator Gerlach and saying he kind of lit up. He's got a list. No, but the authors need to let us know if there's a bill that you don't intend on taking up or don't want to take up. And then we will try to figure out a way to package the bills in a way where we can have some topics in general together. But the idea will be to process bills on the floor next week. And I think if somebody needs a committee meeting, they better do it during the lunch hour. Because I would prefer not to have to have floor session not meet for committees. Now the only exception to that would be the majority caucus will meet at 9:30, half hour before session starts in room 112, and then Mr. President, I would move. I think Senator Sanjum and I want to thank the members. Apparently, unless Senator Moi meets tomorrow, we will have met the policy deadline a day ahead of time. And I do think members who have been in the Senate noticed that this week wasn't quite as chaotic or nutsy as it has been in the past, where people are running between committee meetings and stuff. I know some members have had long committee meetings in the last couple of days. But generally, I think it's been a little more rational. So now, hopefully the bills are rational, too. So, and Senator Sumption and I wanted to express our appreciation to members. So I'd move, Mr. President, that we adjourn till Monday, April 16th, 10 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn till Monday at 10 a.m. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.